John 1, verse 12, the first three words of John 1, verse 12. But to all. All. What an encompassing word. A universal quantifier. No room for exceptions. All. When we ask Nelson and his team to break down these walls, by the way, he drove out 29 tons of rubble to open up this space right here. He asked me, one of his questions was, do you want me to take all of this out? Yes, all. It's overwhelming. When I was 10 years old, I was standing with my brother in the backyard of a house we lived in Kansas City, Missouri, United States. And it was a wooded area, so leaves had covered our garden, about 1,000 square meter yard, covered in leaves. And we were renting the house, and so the house had not been cleaned up in several years, and so the leaves were about up to my 10-year-old knees, up to my knees in leaves. And we had been assigned to rake the leaves. We were given plastic bags, and we were given rakes, and we were told to go rake. And so we started raking. My brother and I having a great time. We would rake a little bit and then jump into the leaves. We were having a great time. My father was on his way out, frustrated with something he had to do that day. He ran out. As he was going out, he hopped in the car. Before he hopped in the car, he looked at both of his sons, and he said, I want all this cleaned up before I get back. And my brother and I heard the word all, and we looked at the yard. There's a lot is not going to be done. And so we didn't question his directive, but in our hearts, we were thinking, are you kidding? These things you can't say out loud to your father. He hopped in the car and drove off. And as soon as he left, we saw him leave. We dropped our rakes, ran inside, and had convened a meeting with our mother to say, listen, Mom, we need you to be the intermediary. We need you to be the middle person here. When Dad said all, you think he really meant all? Because he's going to be gone like about an hour, and there's no way we can get this done in an hour, especially if we keep talking to you about the job that's ahead of us. We have a hard time with absolutes, with universal quantifiers, with words that are all-encompassing. We struggle with those words because we are limited. We struggle. We don't see. We can't see. We are limited in our capacity. And so the word all sometimes rattles our cage. John 1, verse 12 through 13. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. We see that all is possible because it comes from God. All is not possible with us. We are limited, but when you consider that he is the one who saves, not us, then all starts to come into perspective. It starts coming into focus. All. As many, the different translations say, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. As many of those who chose him, accepted him, believed in him, we become children of God, to as many who believe in his name. They're born. Our rebirth, or reborn, the Bible says, and this birth comes from him, not from us. He only can save, we can't. This absolute, this complete transformation, becoming truly a child of God, is from him, not from us. The name of Jesus means the Lord saves, the Lord saves. So we believe in his name. We sang about that this morning. We believe in the one who saves. And our faith is in him. And so all begins to come into perspective. We struggle with absolutes. Universal quantifiers. Those things where there is absolutely no exception, no gap for error. This is the best car ever made. Probably not really. He's the GOAT. That's the greatest of all time, if you're... We really aren't completely sure, right? That's why we debate it. All these athletes we talk about all the time. In marriage, absolutes can be real triggers, right? You never. you always. That's how you start a fight. Cindy and Diego, how's that going for you? Any, have y'all put aside those absolutes, the universal quantifiers? Yeah. You never listen to me. Never? I listened yesterday. Okay, but you always tune me out when I'm talking about something important. So I never listen, but I always tune you out. Yes, both can be true. Impressive. Can we agree that sometimes might be the most honest word in marriage? Sometimes you drive me crazy. I'll take that as progress. We're used to hearing these people, some leaders in our world today who use these absolutes, and it drives many of us nuts. Nobody knows the system better than me. Nobody. We're doing things that have never been done before. I'm quoting somebody right now. The media is always wrong, always. What we're building is the greatest, the best, the strongest this country has ever seen. Everyone knows it. Everybody. One of the strongest arguments atheists often raise against Christianity is the Christians' claims of absolute truth. This absolute word. Atheists argue that truth, morality, and meaning are socially constructed, culturally conditioned, and personally defined, not fixed or universal. From that perspective, Christian claims about absolute moral standards, objective truth, or a singular way to God feel outdated. And for a lot of people, they feel like it's even dangerous to make those claims of absolute. Ironically, this position often assumes its own absolute, that there are no absolutes. So, which becomes a self-contradicting claim. The New Testament uses words like all, everyone, and everything on purpose. It's not exaggerating, it's being precise. It is accurate. Christianity doesn't present Jesus as just another option or a personal add-on to your life. It claims he's Lord of everything, available to everyone, accountable over every life. The Bible says every knee will bow, right? Every knee. And committed to restoring the whole world, not just individual souls, a limited few. That kind of language leaves no middle ground. Either Jesus matters to all of life, or he's just a vibe, right? And the Bible refuses to reduce him to that. Christianity makes a bold claim. Jesus isn't part of reality. He defines it. Christianity does not shy away from absolutes. It boldly claims that Jesus is Lord of all. All, there's that word again. Savior for all, judge over all, and restorer of all things. The Gospel of John, the Gospel according to John, was written with absolutes, universal quantifiers. The Gospel of John was written by John, of course, son of Zebedee, written at a time, very significant time, probably after the others wrote, but defining who Jesus is. And the church needed that at that moment. Jesus writes not just to record events, but to clearly define Jesus. He says in John 20, verse 31, the words of John says, "These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." John begins his book by saying, "In the beginning, the Word already existed." He refers to Jesus as the Word, Logos, the Word, the one who saves. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. A shout out to the eternal existence, the being of Christ forever. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. the person of Jesus, the second person in the Godhead. John was writing to both Jews and Greeks. For Jewish people, the word of God wasn't just a phrase. It was a way of referring to God himself. They believed words carried real power, and so they used them carefully. Saying God's name too casually felt disrespectful, so they often spoke of him as the word of God instead. Over time, this language became normal and familiar. Now, any devout Jew would immediately understand it because it was heard constantly in the synagogue when scripture was read. People regularly spoke of memra, God's living, active word, as a meaningful way of talking about God at work in the world. John was also writing to Greeks, Greeks who would also understand this word logos, this idea of the word, who it was the very thinking of God, God himself. Logos wasn't an abstract idea to them. It pointed to something living and active. John's message was clear. The divine reason, this truth, wasn't just a concept or doctrine. It was a person, Jesus himself. And John makes it very, very clear that Jesus comes to us. He becomes flesh. He becomes human to save all. John 1, verse 14. So the word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Jesus is eternal. And it's hard for us to understand that reality because we are limited. He existed from the beginning. Jesus is with God. Jesus is God. Jesus created everything with God. And all of these concepts are beyond our really limited ability to fully, truly grasp and understand because we are limited, but he is not. Jesus created everything with God, everything. Jesus gives life to everything that was created. Jesus brings light to everyone. Jesus shines in the darkness. The darkness can never extinguish Jesus. All, everyone, never. Notice these universal quantifiers. Everyone, everything, nothing, never, all exists. Look at the passage again. You can see these. I've pointed them out for you there, hopefully. John 1, 1 through 5. The next one. Great. There we go. Those words, those absolutes, universal quantifiers. And yet, we still struggle with it, right? John continues to write using these absolutes. John 1, verses 6 through 9. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that, say it with me if you feel like it, everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light, the one who is the true light, who gives light to, say it with me, everyone was coming into the world. John 1, 10, he keeps going. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him, but to, say it with me, all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn. Not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. But to all who believed him and accepted him, to all. We struggle, right? We struggle with these absolutes that we see all through Scripture. And we often try to place a version of our limits onto the universal quantifiers of God. We hear this absolute statement that we see in Scripture, and then we try to parse it. We try to break it down. So they didn't really mean that. But it really means if you take this other passage over here and connect it to this, and then ultimately then we break it down to where we minimize the all-encompassing love of Jesus Christ. We shrink it, whether in our own hearts or in minds, but we shrink it. Jesus came to save all. All. Absolutes. We're limited in our ability to comprehend large capacity, right? We are limited. I'm telling you what, when we started coming to this building right here, we had a limited, it took us a long time to say, are we really going to fit here? We started trying to dream to think about how we were going to fit. And honestly, when I first saw the place, I thought there's no way. especially with these two rooms that were right here. And there was an office back there that was sort of where Hein is sitting. That's where there was a line there. There was an office. We couldn't really see it. It took time. We're limited in our way, our ability to see, to comprehend, to understand capacity. That's why we don't have, we're not friends with 5 billion people. We can relate to about 150, if that. Most of us, if we're introverts, probably we're good about with two or three, and that's where we park. Yeah. I love you, introverts. Love you dearly. And the great thing about, you know, my insult to introverts this morning is that because you're introverts, you won't come and talk to me about it. You'll just dwell on it, ponder it, and then take care of it on your own. Bless you. Yeah. I would love to talk to you. I'm just joking. Yeah. We're limited by our experience, right? We haven't experienced everything, so we don't really understand all things. We're sinners, too. We keep going back to the perversion of our lives. We make bad decisions. And so to understand perfection, complete, perfect, is very difficult for us. We need God's help. We desperately need God to help us understand the extent of his love, the extent of his grace. But God says to all, to all, to all. The disciples who hung out with Jesus, walked with him, saw him face to face, struggled with this in a big, big way. One of my favorite stories about them is when Jesus asked them to feed everybody. There's 5,000 men out there, which tells us that there were probably 15,000 people, women, children, and Jesus says to his disciples, feed them. This is after the disciples told Jesus to send them away. Send everybody away. And Jesus says, feed them. Luke 9, late in the afternoon, the 12 disciples came to him and said, send the crowds away to the nearby villages and farms so they can find food and lodging for the night. There is nothing to eat here in this remote place. But Jesus said, verse 13, one of the most craziest commands ever, Luke 9:13. But Jesus said, you feed them. I want us to ponder that statement a little bit, just for a moment. Just think about that. You feed them. One of the most outrageous directives in history. You feed them. But Jesus, their response, but we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I don't think the disciples had to think about that one long. But Jesus, you've lost your mind. We only have 5 loaves, 2 fish. Are you expecting us to go and buy enough food for the whole crowd? What happened? They fed everybody, and there was food left over. New Song Family Church, when you look at each other, when you look at yourself especially, you know you have limits, right? We all know that. Jesus came to save all. All. And we are not the light. He is the light. We are merely the ones who are saved. We are the messenger to the light, the one who can save all, the one who died for all. We are so much like these disciples. When Jesus says, you feed them, we say, but I only have me. I only have my limitations. I can't. Look at me. How can I? I know many of you have thought that about yourself. When God has very clearly said to you, go, speak, and you said, but look, you can make a strong case for all of your limitations, but Jesus is the absolute. He is overall. He is all-powerful. He is everywhere. You will never go to a place where he is not. Jesus is all. Our dilemma is a clash between the visible reality, the reality that we live in every single day. That's our clash, right? And Jesus called a trust in something bigger than ourselves, bigger than even the body of Christ that we're part of. Trust something greater, something bigger than us. You feed them. And we struggle with that, right? Salvation to all people? Really? Jesus did not say it flippantly, like my dad. Get all this grass, get all these leaves raked up. We actually raked all those leaves up, by the way. My dad knew exactly what he was talking about. Overwhelming to us. We think about all. Almost impossible for us to imagine in real time. And so we need to connect all to a person or to a face. We need it to be personalized. And so Jesus comes, becomes human so that we can understand, so that we can get it, so that we can put a face to the great, all-encompassing, powerful God who created us. He becomes human, becomes flesh. John the Baptist, when he was heralding the coming of Jesus Christ too, had trouble understanding. It took him time. John 1:6, God sent John the Baptist to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. Verse 8, such a powerful verse. John himself was not the light. There's this very pointed moment in Scripture where John says, look, John the Baptist is not the Savior. Let's make this clear. We are not the light. He is the light. And so Jesus personalizes this for us. We need him to personalize this for us. I want to show you a picture of a lady. You might know this picture if you read National Geographic your whole life. National Geographic people out there, I grew up on National Geographic. This is a very powerful picture that was taken by Steve McCurry. And he says is probably the most iconic picture of all time. Probably not, but very powerful picture. He talks about how he knew when he saw her in the refugee camp that it was going to be an amazing picture. This picture was used to rally people because they could put a face on the problem. This lady's name is Sharbat Gula. She still lives. She lives in Pakistan. This striking portrait of she was 12 years old at the time. This is 30 some odd years ago, taken in 1984. She was what was called a Pashtun orphan in the Nasir Bagh refugee camp in Afghan-Pakistan border. But this picture made sense to millions of people who did not understand the problem that was taking place in Afghanistan. And so because of this picture, this face, this personalized face, they began to give. Sharbat Gula's piercing eyes set against her brown skin and her weathered face, red shawl. It created an immediate human connection. We need life to be personalized for us because our capacity is limited. When you say that millions are dying and going to hell, we go, okay. But if we meet someone who we know is lost, maybe someone we know well, our family member, our hearts break. And we are motivated to share the gospel with them because we know them. We need that personal connection. We need what the photographers call an identifiable victim, someone that we can identify as the victim, the person in need. We need it to be personalized because we can't relate to the millions. We're limited in our capacity. And so that's why Jesus came, knowing our limitations, came in human form, right? Comes in the flesh. Becomes human, makes his home among us. He was full of unfailing love. John screams about this, that he says that Jesus is personal for me. We have seen his face, he says. We've seen him. We've seen his glory. We've seen all that he is. And that's why John was willing to be persecuted to the very end of his life, to be isolated, to do everything to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, willing to take on any kind of opposition because he had seen him face to face. Jesus had become personal. We need to personalize Jesus so we can truly understand what all means. We need to understand his capacity When we personalize Jesus, we can truly understand who he is and who we are. And for many of us, we need to understand who we are not. He is the Savior. We are merely the saved messengers. That's who we are. The messenger is not the light, merely the witness to the light. We are the jars of clay, as we've heard the last couple of weeks. John 1, verse 8. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone. There's that absolute. Jesus was coming into the world. John continues to shout, continues to understand who he is and who he's not and who Jesus is. John 1:15, John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said someone is coming after me." And look at these words, "who is far greater than I am." And church, this morning, as we consider this reality of absolute, the promise of Jesus to save all people, we need to understand who he is and who we are not. He is all. We are not. We are limited. We are limited. He is not. And he is far greater than us. And therefore, when we stand in church or we start churches or we share the gospel, we are not proclaiming a message about ourselves because we are limited. There's no leader of a church who is greater than the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ himself. We're shouting not about ourselves, but we're shouting about him. And may New Song Family Church be and continue to be the one who shouts not to ourselves, but to him. May we shout out, say, "That's the one I'm talking about." And if possible, we try to help you to see past leaders, to see past us, but to see him. Jesus said, if he's lifted up, he will draw men to himself. If we lift up ourselves, we'll draw men, a few people actually to ourselves, but not to him. We need to lift him up, and he will draw all people to himself. Who is far greater than I am? For he existed long before me, John says. From his abundance, verse 16, his abundance, not from our limits, but from his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. Say amen with me this morning. It's about him, right? It's him. That's the one I'm talking about, Jesus. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. Little side note here as we summarize this day. A little bit of trivia here. What does Jesus say about John the Baptist? He calls him the goat, greatest of all time. Matthew 11, verse 11. You can have fun with this afternoon. "I tell you the truth, of all who ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is." As great as John the Baptist was, God is greater. John, we see recorded in John 3, verse 30, he says this, the words of John the Baptist, "He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less." This year, I'd like to invite you, and I'm inviting myself to this too, to become less. To become less. And that he would become greater. May this year, may we understand the absolute God, the eternal God, the everyone God, the one who can never be extinguished, the light that penetrates the darkness, the one who has a plan for every person in this city, not just some, but all. The very one who commissioned all of us, go make disciples of how many nations? All nations. Yeah, I'm just as overwhelmed as you are. All, it's a big word, hard to understand, but God calls us to all. He saves all. He goes to everyone and to everywhere. This year, we must accept the universal quantifiers of Scripture, right? Challenge you this year to begin to see God's word as precise and accurate, even though it doesn't make sense to your limited brain. We must accept the absolutes of Scripture. It'll take faith, right? Because it's not the norm in our lives and experience. It's not normal for us. Absolutes are only possible in the phenomenal capacity of Jesus. We must work this year to think accurately about the perfect love, absolute power of God for everyone. Lord, help us to think accurately about who you are. We must work this year to think more accurately about our limited powers. One of our biggest issues as human beings is that we either think too highly of ourselves or too little of ourselves, but rarely are we accurate about ourselves. We just don't have that capacity to truly, truly understand who we really are. We're either puffed up or pushed down. It's very often how we operate. But trying to find that accurate spot is very difficult for us. So we need Jesus. We're limited. We need his capacity. Oh, how we need his capacity in our lives. We must work this year to think more accurately about who we are, who we are not. We need to increase our dependence on him. I invite you, New Song Family Church, to read his word, to bury yourself in his teaching, to consider that you can do nothing without him. And so depend on him for everything. And I mean everything, not just a few things. Very often we limit that. I'm just going to depend on God for the things of the church. But my business, just me. That's my job. Now, God wants to help you and give you insight into every aspect of your life. It'll put your business in the right place where it needs to be instead of way up here in your brain. Because God is the one who supplies your needs, not just you. God. We need to increase our dependence on him. And we must speak. This year, we must speak about the light. It's one thing to believe that there's a great harvest in Ventuk. There's another thing to be the voice of the one who brings the harvest. To be the gospel, to be the messengers of the light. Again, we are not proclaiming about ourselves, we're proclaiming about him. So we must speak about the light. New Year's resolution to all of us, including introverts. I love you. Speak. God is inviting you to be uncomfortable. And once you get past awkward, you're going to discover peace. You're going to discover joy. There's something exhilarating about stepping beyond awkward and actually speaking, because Jesus shines through us as the light of the world. Speak about the light, realizing this, that only he illuminates and brings light into darkness. Let's shout out like John did, right? This is the guy I was telling you about. Maybe that's your new witnessing technique. Invite someone to coffee and say, hey, this guy was telling you about it. Incredible. Not me, no. I'm having coffee with you today because I want to tell you about this guy. He is greater than us. I promise you, Jesus, the one you will speak about, is more attractive than you are. And he will draw people to himself. But he wants to use us, our limited brains, our limited mouth, and speak the truth of Jesus Christ to a lost world. Jesus came to save all. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you for your greatness. Thank you that you are all powerful. You're perfectly just. You're amazingly loving. There's no one like you, Father. And so, Lord, we put our insecurities away from our main focus, and we focus on you, Lord, who has complete capacity. Thank you for 2026. Thank you for your provision. Lord, you always provide. I thank you for New Song Family Church. Oh, how I love every person in this room. I thank you for them. Thank you that I can call them my family. Thank you for the body of Christ. That is sweet. Thank you for this community. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.